Welcome to the Wild Adventures podcast, the podcast where we get to hear people's life stories and see where they've identified adventure in their life. My hope for you as a listener is that you come away from this podcast inspired to make every day an adventure. I'm your endlessly curious host, Marlene Lowe, and my passion is in hearing and collecting your stories. So today, be inspired by this true story of Larry and Gail, both in their 60s who met online and against all odds, fell in love profoundly. Gail's fierce battle with stage 4 cancer takes you on a wild ride. Their journey, while brief, grabs your heart from the beginning. This true, inspirational love story helps others know that they're not alone and provides a series of life lessons on coping, caregiving, hospice options, sexuality, and loving unconditionally. Now, Larry inspires you to step up your game and live life in the now, not the yesterday, not tomorrow, so that you can be a better partner, parent, friend, and family member. And as Amazon bestseller is called 126 Days, 11 Minutes, Our Love Story. So this is their love story, as told by Larry.
Well, you know, you have to look at the why. Living a love story and writing a love story are two different things. And in 2020, I lived a extraordinary love story before I ever even had the inclination or thought to write about it. Mm-hmm. But the backstory is, or the story is, that in beginning of 2020, January 1st, I set the intention to find a love again. I had been divorced for 9 full years. I had had a couple of relationships that were respectful, but just nothing that was going to be a longer term thing. Yeah. And I said, well, for 2020, new decade, new year, I'm going to jump back on online. So I went to an online dating site. I mean, I have been on one or two of them before and put myself out there. And in that process, I met a woman online on January 6th, it was, in 2020, so just a little over a year ago. Yeah. And her name was Gail. And we connected online, and it led to a phone call, actually very quickly, mm-hmm. once we viewed each other's profiles. And what happened was, during that phone call, I was very captivated by Gail's story, her honesty, really her courage. I was 64 years old. We were actively aging seniors in our 60s. We had both been married before. Gail had been married before. And she had been single for a while. And the thing about Gail, perhaps maybe against all odds, we fell in love on that first phone call. Wow. She was battling stage 4 breast cancer, mm-hmm. and had been for 4 years. She was very honest, Marlene, about it.
Yeah.
And wasn't trying to hide anything. She told me she had a single mastectomy. She told me a lot on the initial phone call. And the more she talked, the more captivated I became. Mm-hmm. So we decided to meet the next evening, which was a Tuesday evening, at a restaurant. And I share that ultimately in the book I wrote about our love story in 126 days, 11 minutes, our love story. I share how we met and some of the things about it. At dinner, the thing about it was Gail was very, very easy. I really connected with her emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. She was a very mystical woman. She was a Virgo. She was an earth maiden. She was a professional photographer for 33 years.
Wow.
Until cancer hit in the Los Angeles area. She was an Argentine tango dancer. So she was a very colorful woman, and she had a great, great spirit. She had a great, you know, sometimes you say high IQ, high EQ. Sometimes you don't have a high intellectual quotient. Yeah. Or, but your emotional quotient could be high. She had both.
Yeah.
She was fluent in French. She was fluent in Russian. Quite an eclectic and very, oh, she was just a great soul. Mm-hmm. And just so courageous in what she had been through in 4 years in battling her stage four cancer. She believed when I met her that she was going to beat it, that she had tried a lot of different things, including holistic modalities and healing methods, and she was going to beat it. Mm-hmm. So we decided at that dinner to live for in the today, live in the today. Let's not worry about the yesterdays or look too far into the tomorrows. And that's how our relationship started. Wow. It started and ended with honesty.
Yeah.
And truth. And Gail always stood in her truth in everything she did and everything she said and everything she touched from the moment I met her throughout the 126 days and 11 minutes that I had the honor and privilege of meeting her and living with her and interacting with her and having a relationship with her. So I did not at the time, Gail was relatively healthy at the time. She was working out. She was dancing ballet. She was dancing tango. She kept her nutrition at a high level. She did everything she can do to keep her immune system very high to fight off the cancer that was in her body. And at various stages, Marlene, it was in remission at various stages through the 4+ years. So, okay, so I'm sitting at dinner, and then as a man, okay, you have to make a decision. You know, it's like, well, you know, this woman might not be well. She's struggling. She has a battle. Do you get up and leave, or do you stay? And I decided to stay, and that began a great 4.5 month relationship with Gail. 63 to 65 days of it, she was relatively healthy, even though battling the cancer. At about day 65 or 70, the cancer moved to her brain. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, she started to go downhill. But I write about joy and passion and adventure and fun and how each of us elevated each other's life and how we looked at the good things in life. And when somebody makes a powerful choice to put themselves out there like Gail did, she chose love. She was not going to hide in the shadow of cancer.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, Marlene, I was attracted to that.
Yeah.
I just said, you know what? Society could say, no, don't do it. It's easier not to love somebody. You're not going to get anything out of it. Don't do it. Well, I'm certainly glad I did. I'm very saddened and still grieving that she died. However, boy, the lessons that I learned from Gail in 4 months were profound. They really were.
Well, you both said yes to life. There's, as you mentioned, society saying, don't hurt, don't put yourself out there, don't make, it's almost like saying, don't make an effort to life, just follow the rules, follow what everyone thinks you should do. And you guys said, no, I want this. I want to feel it for however long it lasts. And that's beautiful because you do end up meeting these people, and for however long you have them in your life, they can change you quite profoundly and change the people around them. I think stepping away from that element of what time gives us and actually what the moment gives us. And that's what your story says. It doesn't matter that we weren't married for 30 years or we weren't in each other's lives since we were teenagers. The time we did have together was so beautiful and so precious that it made a deep impact on myself going forward, but also how happy she was when she passed away and how fulfilling her life was knowing that she did have you and have that last love. That's beautiful.
Yeah, not nicely said, Marlene, and you hit on something really important as far as moments, you know, creating special moments. And I share in the book. The book is divided into days. Mm-hmm. I have 126 days, and that's the way I decided to write it. And each day has a theme or a title. Each day has a title. That what was the focus of that day? I use journal notes, I use text, voicemails, some poems that Gail read for me. But I looked at each day as a special moment. What could we do that day? Or what was of interest? What really happened? Some of it was a lot of fun. The days were funny. Other days, not so funny and very serious. But it's what you do with that moment in that beautiful time you have together with somebody you've really connected with as I repeat, in a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual way. Not easy to capture and to establish sometimes.
So what was the point where, because you said that when you started this journey or in the journey with her, writing a book wasn't even on your mind. So where did that come from? Where did you wake up one morning and said, this is a story I want to share?
I would say the idea, and it was just a brief fleeting idea. Gail had published 3 photography books. She was a very accomplished photographer. Nature, animals, Argentine tango dancers, and models. Wow. Some clothed, some not clothed. But she published 3 books. And it was about day 50 or 51, as I recall, day 51, and there's 126 days in the book. She said she felt in the cancer journey she was on, she wanted to write maybe a 4th book. Mm-hmm. And the title would be My Enlightened Life. Mm-hmm. Dancing, Loving, and Living with Stage 4 Breast Cancer. Mm-hmm. And she said, man, I'm really feeling moved to maybe write a 4th book. And, I heard it. Mm. I did not say, I encouraged her to write if she was thinking of things to write. But somehow I think that went into my subconscious. Okay. Yeah. And when Gail ultimately transitioned, and she didn't have a traditional concept of God in a sense. She believed in a higher power, mm-hmm. but not religious or in a traditional sense, not God in a traditional sense, if you will.
Yeah.
But she put that idea out there. In truth, Marlene, if somebody told me January 1st, you're going to meet a woman online, you're going to date her for 4.5 months, she's going to transition, and then you're going to write a book about the experience, I would have looked at them and said, I don't think so. Okay. So, but to your point, that got into my subconscious when Gail mentioned that. Mm-hmm. After she transitioned, I thought about it. I said, boy, her life really made a difference in my life. And there were so many lessons I learned and so many things we experienced. I do want to honor her life and share them. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very private thing, you know, when you have a close relationship. But I said, you know, it's not replacing, quote, her book. It's not an autobiography of Gail. But the way I wrote it, you get to know Gail.
Yeah.
You get to know her. Okay. And that's, there's so many Gails out there, Marlene, whether it's Stage 4 breast cancer or other diseases, whatever it is, various kinds of cancer, that sometimes they could become a number. Mm. Oh, she has cancer. Okay. You know, we don't talk to her as much, we don't interact with her as much, or he, and they become a number and they disappear.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you know, I believe there's a lot of very courageous souls out there like Gail. And if there's not, maybe her approach will inspire somebody who's struggling. Mm. Maybe the Gails and Larrys out there struggling, who are struggling to find somebody to love, but are afraid because of society's conditions.
Yeah.
They're sick, they don't have enough money, la-da-da-da-da, don't get involved with it. Mm. But, you know, when we come full circle, it comes down to being, wanting to honor somebody's life that made a difference in my life, so that she can make a difference in others' lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned You mentioned at the start that you had learned a lot on this journey. Can you share some of those learnings, what you learned about yourself? Or
yes, I very well can and will, and it's an honor to share them with you, Marlene. I learned, number one, always stand in your truth from Gail, mm-hmm. your core values and your truth. And she stood to her truth to the end. Don't compromise on it. Be yourself, know what's important to you, and don't compromise on that. And, mm-hmm. and that was a very, very important lesson I learned from her. I learned unconditional love. She told me early on, Larry, to love somebody unconditionally without judgments, expectations, or conditions, you have to love yourself unconditionally first.
Yeah.
And I had done a lot of personal work on my journey, so I felt I was able to love her unconditionally, and she me, because we're both imperfect, and we did. And unconditional love is a powerful thing, Marlene, and it doesn't necessarily mean people have to struggle in order to do that. Mm. You know, two people could be perfectly healthy. Okay, it doesn't have to be a struggle to love unconditionally. But I learned that from Gail. I learned that from Gail. I learned courage. I learned not her ability to embrace and choose life and love, even while challenged by cancer. It's possible and worthwhile to do that. Mm. I learned that from her. I learned because of her, and this is interesting, her Argentinian tango dancing. She had been a dancer for 12 years. In Argentine tango, the man leads.
Mm-hmm.
The woman responds. The woman just doesn't blindly follow.
Yeah.
She responds in the embrace. And if the man leads strongly, the woman responds strongly. If the man leads very weakly, the woman doesn't really respond very strongly. Okay. She'll respond weakly. So it's a combination. It's not just about the man leading and the woman following. That's not it. But it's that interaction, that dynamic, the artistry of that. She was comfortable in me leading because of her dancing. And I did. I really led in the relationship and I felt strongly. However, she would respond. And how she responded also encouraged me to lead even stronger, if that makes sense. But I learned that from Gail, to do that. It's okay to do that.
Mm.
And that was a great lesson. And I would say joy, positivity, enjoying moments, you know, certainly. But when it comes to love, is staying by somebody's side, even when it really starts getting very, very tough.
Mm.
And the importance of staying by somebody's side. You know, the heroes, when something like this happens, it's not me, it's the person really who's no longer with us anymore, and how she approached life to the end, and how when the doctors gave her 2 weeks to live, and she told me, she goes, Larry, I'm not just living 2 weeks. She goes, I know I'm going to transition, but I'm going to transition when I know I'm ready to transition, not before, or not because a doctor, in all due respect to all of them, told me I only have 14 days to live. And she lived an additional 5 weeks. But is find peace in that latter stage of life before transitioning. Find peace. I couldn't provide that. She taught me that lesson, Larry. I have to find it. You can't provide that for me.
Mm.
Each of us has to find our own peace. You have to find peace with the situation. I have to find my peace as I transition.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to die. And she told me that. She was 68. But she wanted to find peace while still here with us on Earth. Mm. So that would better her next level of existence. That's the way she felt about it. Some of the things I learned.
Yeah. Now, in terms of writing the book itself, that must have been quite hard, but also beautiful, essentially reliving your entire relationship.
Yes, and it was kind of the perfect storm that permitted me to write the book, Marlene, and simply this. Number one, I was grieving, and I felt 4 days after she transitioned, I started writing, okay? So I used it as a cathartic experience to write it down. I really felt if I didn't do it at that time, sometimes, Marlene, I think you know this and many of your listeners, emotion could help you, could assist you, but then it could also hinder you, right? Because you get overcome by it.
Yeah.
But I felt if I didn't do it sooner than later, I might not be able to do it. And I did want to move forward and not grieve for an extended period of time. Secondly, I really felt a very strong urge and a strong mission to share her lessons, as I've said a few minutes, a couple of times already, share her life, her lessons when they were still fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I had journal notes. I journaled a lot, very detailed, and that helped me. And then finally, and perhaps a coincidence, perhaps not, or ironically, was COVID.
Yeah.
COVID restricted my professional life as a fitness professional and coach. And my personal life, I couldn't go anywhere. So I had more time to write, Marlene. And in a strange way, I wrote 3 hours every night, Monday through Friday, and 6 hours each day on the weekends. I don't want to say, well, I didn't have anything else to do. But if COVID wasn't there, I don't know if I would have finished the book. I finished writing in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's 342 pages. So those were some of the things that... that came into play in the dynamics of writing the book. And then also thinking about on day 51, when Gail said, you know, maybe a fourth book. And I said, you know, I'll incorporate as much about her as I saw her, not an autobiography.
Yeah.
And then people will get to know her.
Yeah. What a beautiful thing to do. I'm really, I can't even put words to that beauty that you've wanted to continue her, keep sharing her. You've not hidden away and kept that time for yourself. You said, I've learned so much. There's got to be more people out there that need these lessons. And that you've put yourself out there, but you've put her out there as well. And by all means, it sounds like she was quite a public figure. So she was already in the public domain. She had already shared of herself. And that she continued doing that with yourself, but also in the book, that legacy of the impression I'm getting of her, of a very caring, loving person that wanted to better the world. And this is just another way of her sharing that love is pure, and you can learn things up until the last day.
And not nicely said. And it was, you know, it's kind of interesting, Marlene. It would have been easier for me on that first phone call or at the first dinner, even though I was captivated by Gail, to stand up and walk away. Would have been easier. Okay. Yeah. Would have been easier not to write the book.
Yeah.
Okay. But to do anything of significance or of positive impact, easy is never a part of that.
Exactly. Okay?
It never is. And I'll say this. I had an accountability partner, dear friend of mine, Kelly Watson, was my accountability partner. And I do have to mention this. Every Monday, when I decided to write the book in days, 126 days, every Monday, I would give her 20 days of writing. She would send me an email. And I knew Monday morning, after that full 7 days of writing, I had to get Kelly 20 days. And I stayed on that. So I had accountability, and I would recommend, and not telling people how to write a book. This was my first full book. I had published a short book many, many years ago. But in any case, that really helped me, to keep going. And she would read some of it, Larry, keep going. You know, she wasn't trying to overanalyze it, but that accountability really helped. It really did.
What else did you learn in that journey of actually writing a book?
Great and insightful question. You learn about, one, is your journaling technique good? When you go back in your journaling, it's like, is it just random thoughts, or is does journaling mean something?
Yeah.
And easy to understand. But you know, number one, are your sources, is your source material good?
Yeah.
Voicemails, texts, letters, poems. Do you have enough to work with? I'm blessed with a good memory. Even though I'm 65 years old, I still have a really good one. But what you learn about yourself in writing the book is vulnerability. And you have to share yourself and be vulnerable in order to really connect with the reader, because they want to know where you're at. So as much as I describe Gail in the book, in each day, if you will, I also describe what I'm going through. Okay, what helped me, what I was challenged by, so that it was about Gail, but the book also, you get it from my perspective and what I was thinking. So one, being vulnerable is very, very important, and to put yourself out there, because if you hold back, Marlene, the power of each day, or however you, you know, organize your book, I think that people will sense that. I do think organization in how you want to share your messaging, whatever that is, you know, I decided it on days. Maybe it was easy because Gail, I only knew her 126 days. If I had lived, if I had known her 2 years, it would have been a different type of organization. But vulnerability, how to organize your thoughts. And then the other thing is, which is super important, if it's a true story, which mine is, keep be truthful, okay? Make it the truth. It's nonfiction. If it's a fictional story, okay, then, okay, that's, no pun intended, a different story. But be true to the genre by which you're writing.
Yeah.
Okay? And then finally, keep in mind why you're writing the book, and what you most want people to take away from that person that you're writing the book quote about, because she's not here, or he's not here anymore. So you want to honor that. You want to honor their lessons and the connection you had, but they're not here to say, hey, Larry, I don't know about day number 40. I'm not so sure that happened, or I would have written a different way. You want to honor their life and do the best you can and get it down. It's not perfect. And then have faith in the editing process. I'll say this lastly. To have a great editor, they will always keep the spirit of your writing, Marlene, to you. It would always be your writing, but they'll make it sound better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the one other question that I really wanted to ask is you speak of her transitioning. Now, death is scary for a lot of people.
She was scared. Yeah.
What I want to know is where, for anyone listening that might have gone through this or is in those stages or maybe just curious, what was it in her mindset that she decided to go to say transitioning as opposed to dying?
She was, Gail had a mystical approach to life. She believed she was born before she came out of the womb. She believed that where she was going, that Earth was a connection of people. And as in her words, by chance and sometimes by choice, or choice and chance, but sometimes the choices you make, make chance happen. And then she was going to a higher level of consciousness after she would leave here. Okay. She believed that. So it was a journey, and this was her Earth journey. However, in that process, she felt sad, and she wasn't ready initially to go yet. She was sad. She didn't want to die. There were tears. There was a lot of emotions. She felt maybe she hadn't yet connected and done everything she wanted to do on Earth. And I think there was a little disappointment there. However, at some point, she had to find and come to peace with that, that it was ending. Because if she felt still conflicted, or if she felt anger, or, you know, then she wouldn't be able to do that. Now, there's an important element here. Mm-hmm. Gail did not want to die in pain. And I think that's one of the greatest fears of all of us, irrespective of what ails us. Yeah. We don't want to die in a lot of pain. She did not die in much physical pain because she was in an inpatient hospice home. Mm-hmm. And the palliative care was very, very compassionate and very, very good. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have to, quote, worry about the fear of dying in intense physical pain. However, emotional and mental pain.
Yeah.
And finding peace. And it took her a while. And I think that's why she lived longer than the physician said. It took her a while to get to that peace and to get to that emotional and mental comfort, if I could even say that, before she transitioned to that next life.
Yeah. What a beautiful, thank you so much for writing the book. Thank you for sharing this story, because it really is inspirational that anyone can learn these lessons. Like you said, you don't have to be in pain. You don't have to be in a difficult time of your life. You can also learn these things when you're in a good place. And it doesn't matter what stage of life you're at, that this can happen in terms of finding that true connection to someone. And I really want to thank you for sharing that journey with us and sharing it with the wider world.
Well, Marlene, with inspiration, with each loss, sometimes we learn something from a person or an event that causes that loss, and it's how we respond. And in many cases, every loss I've had in my 65 years, I've been able to do something that perhaps I would not have done.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting on the book, Gail does live on the cover of this book because the cover is one of her professional photos of an Argentine dancing couple. And it's interesting, Marlene, because most of Gail's photos were black and white.
Yeah.
Just traditionally, she was a black and white photographer for the most part. This is one of her few colored photos.
I love it.
And I felt very strongly about putting that on the cover of the book.
Yeah.
And she's a part of it. She's a big part
of
that.
Giving me chills.
Yeah, it's kind of, I was blessed that she gifted me with, and I talk about it in the book. It's called Milonga Number One, which is an Argentine dance party, if you will. But in any case, she's very much alive in this book, and her spirit is very much alive today, not only in 126 days, 11 minutes, our love story, in my heart and in the hearts of everybody who, you know, maybe will get a chance to read the book. And it also will come out on audio within the next month. So it'll be on our book too. Yeah.
So people can buy it as an audio book. Buy it as an audio book. Where else can they buy the book?
Yeah, right now you can get it immediately on Amazon Books, Kindle or paperback.
Excellent.
Within the next 4 weeks, Audible will feature the audio version. So there'll be two voice narrators. One who's Gail, one who's Larry. I did not read it. I got two voice actors. I felt it would have been difficult for me to read with another lady.
Yeah.
And emotionally, I had already written the book. I didn't want to relive it all to that extent again. So, So Amazon's the place to go. It's Amazon Books now, and then eventually Amazon's Audible division that does the audiobooks. Yeah.
Well, if that doesn't inspire you to take a chance no matter what, then I don't know what will. So till my next time. Till the next time, my wonderful wildlings. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and you have plenty of adventures to share with us come Monday morning. Bye.